It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The podcast with Dan Gardell and Greg Evans.
Hello, welcome back to 1874, the podcast. I'm your host, Dan Bardell, joined by The Athletic's Greg Evans to look back over Aston Villa 2, Chelsea 2. This show is in association with NordVPN, and if you go to 1874.io/NordVPN, you'll get a huge discount off the plan, and you'll also get 4 months for free. Also, it's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're in the market for something like Nord, then go and look at the description and you'll find out a little bit more information. And we'll also hear more about Nord later on in the show. Greg, strange to be in the position where Villa were winning a game 2-0. Chelsea get it back to 2-2. But I actually very much feel like it was a point gain for Aston Villa Football Club.
Yeah, certainly a point gained. I think just whoever the opponents were yesterday and however the out and however they picked up a point, I still think a point would have been a very good return given the position that Villa are in, the amount of games that Tottenham have to play, and the fact that, you know, Villa are pushing and hoping for fourth place, and that's it now. You know, it is a push for fourth. So it doesn't really matter, I don't think, too much how they get their results now, because there's only three games left. We know four before yesterday. So it's a case of picking up enough points to finish in fourth. So point from the game alone is a decent return. And I think we could probably see that, although there would have been some frustration among the players, among Unai Emery and his staff, you can see it from their reaction and some of the words they said after the game. Look, we're still fourth in the league. It's not a reason to be disappointed or frustrated or angry. Because we are still fourth. So that alone, the point, I think, is good. The performance, whole different story.
Yeah, it wasn't a good display. Even in the first half when Villa were 2-0 up, I didn't think they'd play particularly well. And I felt like Chelsea were the team that was a little bit more in the ascendancy. But in the second half, Chelsea dominated the game. In all fairness, Villa didn't really lay a glove on them. Did have a couple of chances in the rare moments where they did string some passes together, but obviously that's the second out of the last three home games where Villa have blown a two-goal lead, Greg. At this stage of the season, look, like you say, they've just got to pick up enough points to get fourth, and I still think that Villa will do that. I think it's going to be difficult for Spurs to catch Villa with the fixtures that they have left, but, you know, 2-0 up
again. I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Again, and blowing a two-goal lead. Why does this keep happening?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? And one that, you know, we want answered from the manager and the players, and not something that they've been able to answer yet. You know, some of the players have discussed that Villa still haven't got that big club mentality yet, or that winning mentality, the way that when they are ahead or when they're ahead in games, even, you know, not just by scores, but by performance, that they go on and get the job done and see it out. I thought the way Villa started the game was very good. Obviously, they got ahead, and then after that, it was all Chelsea. The second goal came pretty much from nowhere. It felt like it was all against the run of play. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's that Villa have not only got a little bit lucky to not concede, but also pretty lucky to get that second as well. This is going to sound a bit disrespectful, and I don't mean it to be that way, because it's literally only one game. But that felt very, when they were 2-0 up, it felt kind of like a Manchester United performance of this season, where Manchester United have been outplayed, outclassed at times, but actually have very good players that can go and have moments to change a game. And it felt like Villa were doing that, which isn't, yeah, you know, it's not a bad thing. You know, it's not a bad thing, because it shows a sign of a good team, really. Show a sign of good players that can go and get the job done. And it felt like that, but Chelsea by far were the better team. I've watched Chelsea a lot of times this season. That's the best I've seen them, I think, other than
the cup at Villa Park.
No, there was one Monday night game a couple of weeks ago that they played very well in. Palmer got 3 or 4 Everton. Goals. Everton, that was it. Yeah, they were very good then. But I just felt, and Villa would have felt this as well, on the back of Chelsea's 5-0 defeat at Arsenal, where they were absolutely battered and bruised. You know, this was a time for Villa to really go and impose themselves on it. And fair play to Chelsea in a way, because to go 2-0 down after losing 5-0 to Arsenal, their heads could have gone, but they reacted really well and looked like a team that were on the up. But it's way too early to say that about Chelsea, because they're the most dysfunctional team and club in the division.
I still think that now, watching them yesterday. I think when Villa went 1-0 up, I thought their heads will go here. I can't say that they'll react, give a reaction to this, but they did, and have the Jackson goal disallowed. And to be fair, they responded well to going 1-0 down. When we sucker punched them with the second goal at half time, I really thought at that point Chelsea don't have this in them. This isn't what they're about. I thought in the first half Chelsea were the better team, but they're a team of individuals playing for themselves. The amount of shots they had from like 25, 30 yards, different players in that first half, tells me that that's a team of individuals, that isn't a team. And that was the difference between Chelsea and Villa. I felt Villa were a team when they did come forward. They constructed two nice enough moves to be able to score two goals. So, you know, obviously in the second half, Chelsea have scored two from range, so the long shots may be paid off. But I still watch them and think it's just a team of individuals. It is dysfunctional. That's a great word to describe them, full of egos, not full of bad eggs, but a couple of bad eggs in there. The reaction to when things don't go their way, even at the end when I think they've got a point with the ref, to be honest, but even when they're crowding the ref and the way they react at the end, and yellow cards are getting brandished, and so they're just an immature team. It's like a group of lads that get sent to a nightclub for the first time and have a few beers. that would literally be how I would describe them. They don't know how to behave, but they were the better team yesterday, and you know, 2-2. In the end, you know, especially with what happened in stoppage time, Villa kind of escape with a point, don't they?
100%. You know, it was one of those games where Villa were just not there. They were tired. They looked tired, sorry. They were definitely passive.
Because why is it that when we don't play in the week, we never seem to have that momentum in the game?
Strange, isn't it? I mean, look, it's so strange. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that Villa are better, you know. They pass the eye test and the results say that they're better when they play Thursday to Sunday. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but they are better. And we've seen that this season. I do think the early withdrawal of Tielemans made a big difference. Yeah. I thought he was playing really well early on, knocking it about nicely, moving the ball well, you know, dropping into areas of space that were causing Chelsea problems. I don't think they quite knew how to handle him. But then as soon as he went off, all of a sudden you just saw Gallagher come into the game. Caicedo, probably the best player on the pitch on the day. I think the two of them you know, between them, won the midfield battle. Not so much the battle, but the battle between the two, right? You know, rather than the not so much the fight. You know, that they didn't impose themselves on Villa more physically like that. I just think they were the better performers in the day,
didn't they?
They had so much more of the ball. They actually worked it quite well. You know, Villa, credit to them, at times they sat deep and dug in and made it really hard for them to break down. And Chelsea, throughout this course of this season, have struggled to break teams down that have sat back like that. And it almost felt like the perfect way for Villa to go and win the game by just counter-attacking, getting another goal and sealing it off. But fair play to Chelsea. They got back in it. And look, me and you can both agree, it was nothing more than they deserved it, didn't they? You know? Yeah.
You talk about the midfield. I mean, I didn't think Louise and McGinn were in the game at any point, really. I don't remember seeing either of them on the ball. Maybe McGinn a little bit towards the end, but we just didn't construct any kind of passing fluidity together. No. I thought the distances were strange in the game. I thought the midfield felt miles away from the defence, and then the attack felt miles away from the midfield. I do think the Tielemans injury did have an impact. That didn't look good. The way he was hitting the floor was telling me, you know, Villa have got big games coming up and he knows he's not going to be a part of it. Like in his groin area to me, but from what I could
yeah
say.
I don't know whether it was a, I don't know if he looked like he was holding his groin. I mean, he was certainly very frustrated when he had to go off. I don't know whether the knock in the back from Gallagher just you know 5-10 minutes earlier had any impact to that. You know, probably a yellow card that was. Gallagher got away with that one, to be fair, I thought. But yeah, look, it's we've been talking about this all season, haven't we? Villa get players back and then all of a sudden they lose another one, and it felt like, great, Douglas Luiz is back now. Let's see how Douglas Luiz fits in with McGinn and Tielemans. And then Tielemans goes off and then Emi Martinez goes off at half-time. And okay, Villa were going to lose Martinez for the first leg of the Europa Conference League semi-final against Olympiacos on Thursday. And great, you know, those 45 minutes might have done Robin Olsen really well, because he made an unbelievable save from Cole Palmer in the last minute, and that would have done his confidence the world of good. I think that horrendous song that Villa were singing about the world's number two would also in some way give him a bit of confidence as well.
I thought that was quite funny.
I was cringing at that, sorry. I mean, maybe I'm on my own there, but it was... I like the light-hearted chance, because we don't hear enough of the funny ones anymore, but I just thought that was a bad one. It was a bit cringy.
I thought it was quite funny, but you know, you say there, you know, Olsen's ended up in goal, Tielemans has gone off. A caveat I have for Villa is that at the end of the game, they're playing with Olsen in goal, Irobenham at central midfield, Matty Cash is having to play right wing. You know, we're talking bare bone stuff now. You know, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the squad, and it's like, you know, Villa had a couple of defenders on the bench. They had Diaby, who they could bring on, but then had to take off. You know, this is where they're at the moment. They're ridiculously stretched, and we've seen it over the course of the season from every team. Now, every team who has struggled with injuries has suffered, except for Villa. Villa are the only team that have managed to keep a regular run of results going. You look at Tottenham, they struggled early on in this. They struggled just after Christmas, I think, more so. They had a good little run September, October, and then struggled in the run up to Christmas and then a little bit after. Newcastle, a really stop-start season. Liverpool, it started to catch up on them right at the back end of the season when they've asked probably players to play too many minutes. Chelsea, you know, you look at the Chelsea team yesterday, they had probably 8 regulars missing, and they're still performing like that. Okay, they spent a lot of money. Manchester United had a period where they didn't have any defenders and nearly went out of the FA Cup at Coventry by having to play Casemiro in at centre-back. So clubs, Arsenal are probably the only team who haven't had a regular run of injuries, you know, a big run of injuries, and Man City have lost, obviously, Haaland and De Bruyne are their two key players at times, and struggled when both of those were out and failed to win a few games. And then when Rodri missed the game against Villa, the only game I think he's missed this season, they lost that as well. So what has happened to a lot of clubs is injuries have really played a part, and Villa have got probably 6 games left if they want to be involved in every single game now. And let's just hope it doesn't catch up on them, because you feel at some point in the season, if these injuries just can't continue, and we've been saying this all year, that inevitably it's going to catch up on them, because, you know, how can teams deal without a Mings, a Buendia, a Ramsey, a Kamara, now an Emi Martinez, it's just unsustainable. So credit to Villa for being able to do it so far, but let's just hope they don't run out of steam, because yeah, as you say, you look at the bench, there wasn't much there, and you're having to bring on a fifth choice centre midfielder just to make sure that Douglas Luiz doesn't get sent off and avoid another suspension.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the injuries of the other teams, and I agree with you, every team has had injuries, but it's felt like it's come in bursts or spells. For Villa, it's just been constant.
It's relentless, isn't it? It's every week.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped. And we said it last week when, you know, a few weeks ago when McGinn came back and then Luiz got himself suspended. Every time someone comes back, someone else goes. And Martinez wasn't going to play on Thursday anyway, but hamstring injuries, you've got to be careful around that. Like, if he's gone off at half time, I would suggest it was relatively bad. If he's not come back out for the second half, I feel if it's, you know, unless he's got serious doubts, he comes out and plays that second half. But fair play to Olsen, because he made that important save. I thought he did quite well. I actually think John Gregory always tells this story that Michael Oakes would always play well in front of the north stand, and then he'd come out again the whole end, and he'd go within himself a little bit. I do think there's something in that with Olsen. I always think he's better up the other end for the when he's in front of the north stand rather than Holtend. I think there's more pressure on him when he's in front of the Holtend. We'll pick this back up, but let's hear a little bit more from NordVPN first. 1874 is proudly sponsored by NordVPN, so when and you can't watch it, we want to help you. NordVPN is a secure and private service which works on pretty much any device, including your laptop, mobile, or television. So if you want to watch some live content, it allows you to appear like you're in another country. And whilst you're connected, no one else can find out what you're doing, including your internet service provider. Beyond this, the service also has threat protection baked in to protect you from intrusive website ads and malware, which is pretty handy for you. As part of NordVPN, support performance for free. This also includes Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. All you've got to do is go to 1874.io/NordVPN and sign up. All the details are also in the description. As always, we're very grateful to anyone that signs up. We know that money is tight, but if you think NordVPN will help you out, it will also help keep the channel running and help us too.
Yeah, I mean, on Olsen, I think great that the fans got behind him, because I think there's, for a long time, and you know, probably privately amongst most supporters, they think that Robin Olsen could be upgraded on, and they feel like that you know, Villa could do with a better second choice goalkeeper, and perhaps with the new Australian guy that they signed, you know, he might be the guy in the future. But credit to the supporters for getting behind him, because that's what, you know, that's what he needs. He needs that boost of confidence. You know, having spoken to goalkeeping coaches who have coached him, they say that, look, you know, yes, he wants to be a first choice goalkeeper because he's an international goalkeeper and has been used to playing, you know, regular in his career before moving to Villa. But he's also recognised as a very, very good understudy, you know, somebody who understands and recognises that Emi Martinez is the number one. And, you know, he's a very confident, you know, big ego type of guy. But you need people to challenge him. And he does that on a regular basis, you know, in his own sort of way. So, but coming in for Martinez at times, and these opportunities are few and far between for Olsen, because Martinez is such a durable guy and very rarely misses games. There's always that element of pressure because Martinez is just so good. And I think Olsen handled it quite well. I think his distribution was decent. He was quite commanding, I think, you know, when balls were coming into the box. And I thought he organised the defence quite well, and I thought he made that brilliant save to deny Kyle Palmer right at the end. But the sad thing is, we're looking at it again. You know, they've conceded goals when he's in goal.
Every time he plays, they concede between two and four. Every time.
And it's like, you know, it's harsh, but it's
they weren't his fault, though, the goals.
They weren't his fault. No, of course not. But, you know, defenders and goalkeepers look at the stats, and if they're conceding every week, they know it. So, you know, in the back of their mind, they're desperate for clean sheets. And Olsen just doesn't get that many, you know, however unfortunate that might be. But look, we're focusing on him. It wasn't his fault yesterday. No, you know, certainly not. It was Villa's performance in general that just wasn't quite there. But I just go back to the start, you know, a point in the end was very good because I thought they'd blown it in the end. And to be honest, I can understand why VAR ruled out the last goal for the bit, but at the same time, I don't think it's a foul.
I think it is a foul, but I agree with Match of the Day that, like, if it's...
I wasn't available for that.
I need to try and remember myself. I should say a caveat at this point that Greg's made us do a podcast at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning, so memory's not the freshest, and I've been at the game and then watched Match of the Day, so I haven't really read or looked at anything else. So that I'm trying to remember what they said. They said that, you know, I can't remember what they said. Forget it. I think it's not a high bar enough to overturn once the goal has been given. If the ref's seen it and he's given it, I don't think it's a massively clear and obvious error. But I think it's a foul, though.
I've got so many thoughts on it, and we can go through. The only reason we're analysing it in a little bit more detail is just because this is a Villa podcast, you know.
Well, it's critical as well, it's coming stoppage time in the game.
Yeah, I mean, look, very, very quickly, we look back to last week when Ashley Young has fouled or challenged a Nottingham Forest player three times, and three penalties haven't been given. So all of last week, we're talking about a higher bar from referees. A lower bar from referees, yeah. where they're allowing sort of challenges in and around the box to go unnoticed a little bit and not punish the defender so much. And that was a little bit of a trend. You know, we've heard refereeing experts, ex-referees, other officials talking publicly about the fact that, referees and other officials are allowing things to go on a little bit more. So if you watch back of the replay, Carlos doesn't even appeal. Diego Carlos, he doesn't even appeal for a penalty. The goal goes in and he isn't bothered. You know, he doesn't think that he's been fouled. And I'll have to watch it back, but I think it was because he was giving, was it Disasi or Badashayla?
Badashayla.
So he was giving him a fair bit, I think, before, you know, in terms of the sort of rough and tumble in the box and not letting him pass. So I think it was a case of Carlos kind of jumped for the ball, was pushed off it and didn't think anything of it because he didn't appeal. And then Chelsea go and score, and he didn't appeal after the goal. But then when it goes to VAR and you look at the incident alone, it looks like a foul.
Appealing throughout.
Was he right? Okay, but I'm looking at Carlos because he doesn't appeal. But when it goes to VAR and you watch the incident alone and you think that, well, you know, the defender has won that ball and that's led to the goal, it looks like it's got to be ruled out. So it's a difficult one, I think. And look, I don't like VAR. I never have. I'd get rid of it. But I've got a bit of sympathy for them there because I think that they probably have to give it when they look back at that incident. And look, it's great for Villa because they save a point that they probably didn't deserve, but in the end, you know, might just be the point that gets them over the line and gets them into fourth place. I think even if Villa lost yesterday, I wouldn't be concerned. I still think they're going to get fourth because I look at Tottenham's fixtures. Got Arsenal today, you know, after we're recording this podcast. Then got Chelsea, which is going to be a tough game. You know, local derby and Chelsea are playing well, as we've seen yesterday.
They've got a good record against Spurs as well.
Yeah, then they've got Liverpool, which, you know, anything can happen. Man City later in between games against Burnley and Sheffield United, which they'll probably win. So you're looking at those six games that they've got remaining, you think two of them they're definitely going to win, or, you know, most likely going to win. But four of those others, they could potentially lose, and that's going to get them nowhere near Villa. So Tottenham haven't won four games in a row this year. So, you know, something's going to have to change, and they're playing against very, very good teams. So I think that their position in the table at the moment is almost a little bit flawed because they've got four of the real top teams still to play. I'm confident Villa are going to get fourth now. I'm not worried at all. I think they've done the hard work now. I think they've put in the yards. They've got the points on the board, and I think it's enough. Yeah, they've still got to go and win a couple of their remaining games, but I'm sure they'll do it.
So I thought Villa needed four more points potentially. So they've got one of them yesterday.
Yeah, I think one more win and they're in.
Yeah, I think the same. Looking at it, I think it leaves Spurs with too much to do. Just back to the VAR incident. I think if he just pushes him in the, kind of nudges him in the back from a stationary position, I think it's probably not overturn. I think this is that he almost has a little bit of a run up at Carlos before he does it, and the force that he does it with that means that it gets overturned. I think it's a foul, but I do also think, you know, if you've got the low bar, you don't get involved. You don't overturn it. So maybe Villa have got away with one there.
The one thing I would say is that if it wasn't overruled, we'd now be talking about it, saying that it probably should have been.
They can't win in that kind of situation.
No, they
can't. VAR can't win in that situation.
There's no rule book to go off now, is there? There's so many penalties have been given, so many soft penalties have been given, and so many slightly harder penalties have not been given. Mm. So it's just hard to know, you know, it's hard to know the threshold now.
Also would have gone down as an Olsen own goal, which would have been very unkind.
Yeah.
As well, because he hit the bar and then hit him.
And that would have just added to the narrative as well, wouldn't it? Which is, you know, it's just a shame.
Yeah, that would have been a shame for him. Just before that, Diaby, the sub who was subbed on, ended up getting subbed off. He looked frustrated. He didn't have a good game. I mean, no one played well really for Villa yesterday, maybe with the exception of Pau Torres, who I thought had a decent game. But, you know, no one was really at it. It was a not very good team performance, let's say. But Diaby, who was subbed on earlier for Tielemans, got subbed off at the end and looked frustrated, didn't go and sit in the dugout, walked down the tunnel. What did you make of that?
Tough one for him, you know. Tough for it. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for any player to come on and come off. You know, regardless of, like, he's probably played more minutes than he would have thought he would have played anywhere. Yeah.
What, in the game?
In the game.
Oh, not overall, yeah.
Yeah, in the game, sorry. So, in isolation, he should be probably a bit more pleased than usual when coming off the bench, maybe on 65 minutes and having the final half an hour. But he's played more minutes than he would have expected from the start of the game. Yet it's more frustrating and more embarrassing to come off, I think, having already been brought on. But Emery's done that a few times. He did that with Rodgers, didn't he, earlier in the season?
It's definitely been done to someone.
Yeah, and I think Zaniola might have. I remember seeing it a few times. You know, it might have also been Diaby again and Bailey. I'm sure he's done it multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, I remember seeing it. So
Rodgers, it was definitely.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Strong management at a time where Villa are very, very stretched and they need it. You know, other managers could have left Douglas Luiz on, for example, and not put Timmy Rabunim on and risked him getting another yellow card. And look, Caicedo was winding him up something rotten and rolling around on every little challenge, and the two of them were going at it. So Emery clearly sensed that and thought it was a good idea to bring Rabunim on, which I agree. But yeah, Diaby, it's not quite gone for him. I think he started the season well. He's had spells where he's looked all right. He's had, you know, games where he scored and you think, is this going to be the start where he really kicks on? But just hasn't quite been there. And, you know, when you think of what might be going through his mind right now, you know, he left Bayer Leverkusen, who've now gone the season unbeaten and have won the Bundesliga, have, you know, a favourites to win the Europa League, favourites to win the German Cup. So he's left a team that have gone on and won everything, or potentially going in and winning everything that he's got. Okay, be really happy with the move to Villa, a massive move, and increasing his salary, you know, increasing his profile, etc. But it just hasn't quite gone for him. And you know, maybe it's one where next season he's better. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to adjust to the Premier League. Look at Bailey; he's the classic example. You know, and then you've got Duran as well, who, you know, we just haven't seen much of him, and he nearly won it for Villa at the end, didn't he, with that header. And, you know, imagine that feeling if that had gone in and it was so close to yet another set-piece goal from Villa. But, I think there might be a little bit of movement in the forward areas next season, because what we're seeing is Morgan Rodgers now playing a lot of minutes because, you know, he's clearly in the groove now. He's got that height advantage, I think, which works. He's got a physical presence. He's doing the things that Emery wants defensively and offensively. But, you know, you're looking at Zaniolo not fit. You know, do they sign him permanently? Probably not. Do they need another striker to complement Watkins? Probably. Will Duran go or be considered by others? Probably. There was a big hug before the game, wasn't there, with Mauricio Pochettino? And you kind of thought, well, how do them two know each other? Where's that from? Am I missing something?
South American is the only thing I can put it down.
That's the only thing I could think of. You know, I mean, Duran was heavily linked with the move to Chelsea, wasn't he, in the last window? And that didn't quite go through because he picked up the injury. You know, who knows what might have happened there?
Yeah, I think Duran will go. His minutes are getting less as the season goes on, it feels. As well, he came off a very minimal time yesterday. I think he wants to play. His ego wants him to play. I did a big thing in January on Sky about John Durant, so I won't repeat myself. But yeah, I think he'll end up going. I do feel for DR because I say no one played well yesterday, but you know wasn't really involved in the game. He didn't hear his song once, except for when he came on. You know, if he did anything good, you'd have heard that song at some point. He just wasn't in the game at all. I feel like, you know, I said about people having a good game. I feel like Bailey's always in the ascendancy, always playing, always doing his best to try and make something happen. It always feels to me like if Villa are to do something at the moment, it's most likely going to come through Leon Bailey doing something, whether it be scoring or assisting or involved in the build-up. And it's still quite worrying to see him with all this strapping. You know, he's playing through the pain barrier at the moment. But yeah, he still, to me, feels like the key man at the moment for Villa. When he plays well, Villa seem to play well.
Yeah, fully agree. I've been really impressed with him. I like watching him now. I think he's a really exciting, fun player to watch now. And I used to think the complete opposite of him before. I thought Madueke had a decent game for Chelsea,
saves,
to be fair.
Saves his good games for Villa Park because he was their best player in the cup game.
Yeah, I thought he had a decent game and I haven't seen much from him this season. So, he kind of changed my opinion a little bit. But I also think if Chelsea had Bailey yesterday, for example, they would have really caused, you know, even more problems to Villa, I think, because every time Bailey got the ball, he had the beating of Cucurella, it felt like, didn't he? And I think just in those moments now, he's confident. He goes at a player and he beats him, where he just wasn't doing that before. And then he also makes the right decision to just be simple and lay the ball back when he needs to and keep the ball moving. And far too often previously, he would try something, lose the ball, and it just build up, you know, the amount of times that he lost possession. It used to become so frustrating. But no, really important player for Villa now, and he's, you know, his numbers speak for themselves as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say I don't think he'll play on Thursday, but might have to because we're very, very low on numbers. But we'll do a preview show before that game and talk around team selection on this channel. That'll do us today. Greg's off to do his main pastime, and that is play golf. You can probably tell by his attire that he's off to play golf now. So yeah, he's asked for the early morning Sunday podcast, and I can't thank him enough for getting me up at 7:30 on a Sunday. Really, really appreciate it. Greg says, thank you very much for joining me today, mate.
Pleasure. I'm off to get very wet on the golf course.
Oh, the weather's just a joke at this point now.
Saying to our producer Adam just before you arrived late into the room that it rains every day. It rains every day. So if you stop making plans, then you're not going to do anything. So I've decided I'm going to make plans, and if it rains, which it does every day, it rains.
Well, the good news for me is because I'm up so early, I can get my tip run out the way, so you going to play golf, I'll be going to the tip.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But the tip in the rain is probably about as fun
the tips are a strange place, isn't it? You know, you queue up and you have to give your postcode and they don't believe you sometimes. I have to show that I have a Solihull postcode because they say people from Birmingham come here, and I'm thinking like, bloody hell, is it like, who cares? It's a tip, we're getting rid of rubbish.
Because I've moved recently, I've been at the tip so much over the last few months. And recently, one of the guys working at the tip, you know what it's like, I find the tip quite intimidating because I'm not like really manly with stuff like this. But I've been going to the tip so much. And a few weeks ago, like I did some great tip work, I would say. I put everything in the right thing, didn't have to ask any questions. And even when I was going, I said, see you later, mate. And the guy went, see you later, boss man. I loved it.
You've got it.
I love that he called me boss.
You're tip connected now.
No, but mate, since I've been really thrilled. I really wanted to be called boss man again by him, and he just hasn't. He hasn't given it me. He's keeping me motivated to do good tip work because he hasn't called me boss man since. And I really, I've been there about 16 times since, I reckon.
And I'm waiting for the day where I don't have to book an appointment or don't be asked my postcode. That's when I know I've. That's when I know I'm a tip regular.
But I like the professionalism of them continuing to ask you for the postcode. But yeah, I'll let you go because I know you've got to go. So yeah, hopefully you've enjoyed this look back over Villa 2, Chelsea 2. Subscribe to the channel wherever you are getting your podcast from. Like, comment, review on a podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those things. Everything helps us. So if you can do anything to help us, please do it. Be back in the week for a match preview ahead of the Olympiacos home leg. So watch out for that. But yeah, have a great rest of your Sunday and, you know, have a good week until we're on again. Up the Villa. Sports Social Podcast Network.